Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Ron Baker of Photo Art Studio and Gallery. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Ron Baker of Photo Art Studio and Gallery. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. So I wanted to talk to you first and foremost about your photo art studio and gallery that you have recently opened. Tell me where it is and then give me all the info that our listeners would like to hear.
Photo Art's located at 31 West Spring Street across from Dairy Queen. Been open since June of last year. In the beginning, it was the commercial photography studio. I got up and running, and the added part of that concept is the gallery where I host other artists and including my work.
Yep. And so I've driven by it and I've seen a couple of large pieces in there. Who do you have in there right now?
Right now I've got Bruce Hurd with the Monkey Wrench. Mm-hmm. I've got Rachel Clark from the Appalachian Art Center. I've got Helga Skinner from, she's a fine art photographer. And I also have Louis Columbrini.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, and his ceramics.
Great. He's fantastic. I mean, they're all good. I love him.
Oh, one other shout out.
What?
Maria Warnes.
Awesome.
Awesome oils painter.
Fantastic. And so you do sessions inside of your gallery as well for your photography, right? No? No sessions? That's okay. I don't know.
Repeat the question.
Okay. Was the question okay? Do you do sessions? Like photography sessions?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Sorry.
And so you do photography sessions inside of the photo art studio and gallery?
Yes, I do. The photography end of it, I do a lot of corporate photography, headshots, product photography, go out on location. But I also do private photography, fine art photography, working with individuals, families.
Fantastic. And so you're also an artist outside of a photographer, correct?
Yes, I am.
And what kind of artist?
Primarily drawing and painting, but my creativity goes into just about everything I do.
What do you like to draw and paint?
It really depends upon my motivation, my inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's all across the board. I'm like an antenna. Everything around me, I pick up on, and it comes out in some sort of creative way.
Do you draw people much since you photograph them?
Not too much. Probably more illustrative, depending upon what it is. It could be an animate object, could be a scene or a scenario.
Do you prefer drawing to photography ever?
Let's say my drawing skills are rusty compared to my photography. I've been doing photography for over 20 years. So the drawing has always taken a backseat to my photography because it is my profession. It's the way I earn my living. But now, at this stage of my life, I'm trying to get back to my roots, where I got started in art.
Will we be seeing any of those roots hanging up in the gallery?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Definitely. Keep checking back.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. You should do an opening with all your roots
I
on the
will.
Wall.
You can look for that.
Fantastic. So how old were you when you started taking an interest in the arts?
That would go back to the year I was born.
Okay.
So, the arts is everything to me. It's everything creativity that involves creativity. Anything from do-it-yourself projects, home construction. I always put a spin on things and do it my own way. It includes cooking, helping my mother cook and do things around the house. That all contributed to how I stepped into what is considered traditional art.
Mm-hmm. So when did you get your first camera?
Right around senior, maybe towards the end of high school. No, let me rethink that. It's a long time ago. I think when I was 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was it was called The Handle, made by Kodak. It was a Polaroid camera, and you had to crank out the print. And so if you're old enough to remember that, then
yeah, well,
that was
first
camera.
I don't know if I'm old enough to remember it, but I've seen that in usage before. And so what were you taking pictures of when you first got the camera?
Anything and everything. A lot of people, and I still have some of those original prints from whatever year that was when I was 14 years old.
We should see those on the walls as well.
maybe I could scan them and enlarge them and create something else out of them.
Yeah, make a little collage or something like that, perhaps. Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as the scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Susan DeMay of Made by DeMay Ceramics. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is the creative process when you are working with slab? Just run me through that, like if you're making a piece.
Well, I look at architecture. I look at my friend's work. I look at other art forms, or I look at historical ceramics. Like there's a school of art and design called the Memphis style, and it's very contemporary, and it's rather asymmetrical, and it uses this bright colors, and it usually is focused on furniture being sculptural or glassworks being sculptural. So I look to that as a source of inspiration. I also like some of the things I see in steampunk, which is a kind of trend, and it incorporates nature and industrial aesthetics together. So I look to the outside world for inspiration in those types of wares.
And then how do you create what you're doing?
Well, I have a slab roller, which looks a little bit like a wringer washer. Not that maybe everybody knows mm-hmm. what that is,
yeah.
But it's two rollers, and you push a flat piece of clay through the rollers to get a perfectly even slab. And you can do the piece pretty large. And I usually do a very large piece, and my slab constructions are a little bit larger than the typical vessel shape and size. And then I use templates sometimes, or I wrap it around a roller, or I press it into a mold. And from there, I incorporate textures and various appendages.
Okay. And then you paint it?
Well, people have a misconception about how glazes are applied. I do very little painting of glazes. I do mostly, like, for the inside, I'll pour in a large cupful and swirl it around and then pour it out, covering the whole interior. And then the outside might be dipped if the bucket is big enough, or it might be splashed, or it might be poured, and then maybe some of the details are brushed. But on my production wares, most of those designs are created through pouring and wax resist. Mm. So I'll do a glaze background, do a wax pattern on top of it, and then do a second glaze over that. That's how the flowers are done, and that's how the trees are done in my landscape.
I always thought it was brushwork. See?
Yeah, no, really, it's very little brushwork. Mm.
It's interesting.
With brushwork, you don't get a nice even coat.
Mm.
You see the splotchiness of the brush strokes.
Gotcha.
With pouring, you get a nice even coat.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Well, we appreciate you coming out today. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I love to hear your story and get to know you better. So thank you so much.
All right. My pleasure.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Ron Baker of Photo Art Studio and Gallery. Do you think that the culture of the Upper Cumberland influences your craft at all?
It does. It does. And I mentioned a little while ago that I'm in an antenna. Everything around me inspires me. I'm very receptive to everything around me. But before, you know, I'm not originally from the Upper Cumberland. I moved here in 2008, originally from Ohio. Went to Miami University, studied art there. And in Ohio, I do have to give a shout out and mention some individuals that really, really transformed me. Even when I was young, my cousin, Mike Riedel, he was an artist for American Greetings, and he was a licensed artist for the character Ziggy. So I was always looking at his things, looking up to him, and trying to emulate what he was doing. There's one time I remember, back in the 70s, there was a thing in magazines and newspapers where it was like they'd have a character, you know, an illustration, a drawing. It's more cartoonish. And they said, you know, draw this character and submit it to see if, you know, you have talent. And I told my cousin, we were sitting at the dining room table, I said, hey, Mike, draw this. And he says, why don't you draw it? Let me see what you can do. And that really turned the table on me.
Yeah.
And it was really a groundbreaking moment. But from there through high school, I had art instructors. Roger Hopper was a big influence, one of my high school art teachers. Going through high school into college, Ed Montgomery was my drawing instructor. He was very formidable. I mean, he and I just loved what he did, and he inspired me, and you know, I credit a lot of my drawing skills to him. And then once I got into photography, it was in Cincinnati that I really connected with the photography community, and that was in the commercial photography area. Don Ventry took me under his wing. He's just one of Cincinnati's top photographers, very illustrative style, very colorful images, and just working with him as an assistant really transformed me. I thought I knew a little bit about photography until I worked with him, and then I knew nothing about photography. And then from there, moving down here in 2008, anything and everything inspires me, including you, Emily. Seeing your artwork, we've got so many talented artists in the area.
We do.
And I couldn't even, if I start to name them, it would, if I forget one, you know, there's just so many that I look at their work in admiration, and it really inspires me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Even for this show, you know, just when I research and look for artists to interview for the show, I'm like, I'm amazed at how many that we have. And we're just getting more and more coming out of the Appalachian Center for Craft. And we're growing such a great artist community. So it's actually a really good place to be right now.
Absolutely. Moving to Cookto was, it was like a hidden gem.
Yeah. So when you graduated high school, did you go to college for anything else or just for the arts?
Just for the arts.
That's incredible. Because when you went to college, that, I mean, was that encouraged by your parents?
Well, my mother always said, whatever you do in life, I will always encourage you. And she kind of left that ball on my side of the court to do with it what I wanted. And she was very encouraging. She's very special and in her own right, very creative. And I think my mom did a lot for me in that area. But yeah, at the time, fine art wasn't necessarily something that, you know, everybody went into.
Yeah. No, it's not. So that's why I commend you for that. That was very brave of you. And it looks like it worked out just fine. Now it's pretty normal. It's pretty standard, you know, especially with the internet. We can do whatever we want. We have the exposure, and it's a lot easier than I'm sure when you were growing up. So it's pretty neat. More of our conversation is coming up on the scene here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman. And today we're chatting with Bryce McDonald, the producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. And I'm actually here at the Cumberland County Playhouse. And I have Bryce with me today. Hi, Bryce. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. So I want to talk to you about how you got your start in theater and then we'll touch base on how you got to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in Overton County, so this is home for me. And I am the baby of three, and my older brothers were a football star and a basketball star, and I like to sing and dance in the front yard. So I got involved in church plays and school stuff and thought, this is what I want to do, but how in the world am I going to do it here in Tennessee? And in the fourth grade, I took a school trip to come see Annie here at the Cumberland County Playhouse. I could still tell you the seat that I sat in that theater, and it changed my life. I found my tribe. I found people that I just felt like, this is where I fit in. I don't really fit in anywhere else, but I feel at home here. So I made it my goal to do everything I could to get here. So I saw every show possibly. I drove my parents crazy to bring me here. I begged when I was able to drive at 16 that this is the only place I wanted to drive to. I wouldn't have to ride the bus. I would ride the bus to school if I could drive on the weekends to see shows. And then at 18, I kept pushing and pushing to get in here, and I got an internship audition, and they were kind enough to cast me in a show, and I started dancing for the company. I was a tumbler. I could do gymnastics when I was younger, so there was a need for that in a couple of productions, so that was kind of my in. And I met Abby Crabtree, who was the former, one of the directors and former artistic director here at the Playhouse. And she took a liking to me and brought me in, and I started doing shows, and then I stayed for 10 years and had the best possible training you could ever have, because it was immediate and hands-on. It wasn't in a book. It wasn't like, well, here's what could happen. It was like, oh, it's happening. You better be able to fix it. And I went on from performing to stage management, assisting the producer, because I started doing stage management because I got hurt in a show and I couldn't do the show anymore, but I could assist backstage, and I fell in love with that and thought, I don't really want to perform anymore. This is where I want to do. And from that management, the producing director said, I need an assistant. Why don't you come and do some of that stuff with me? And I said, sure, and jumped in and just fell in love with it. It was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be behind the scenes to create the art that changes lives, because it changed my life. And so my rule of thumb is that in every audience, there is another Bryce. There's another fourth grader waiting to find that tribe, waiting to find someone to say, I get you, and I can bring you in. And so that's kind of, you know, I spent 10 years here from 18 until 29, living the best life, going through all the emotions you go through in those 20s, learning so much, and decided I wanted to move to New York and spread my wings and give it a try. And so I moved to New York with $2,000 in my pocket and a U-Haul full of stuff, and subletted an apartment from a friend, and was blessed enough with what I had learned here and made the right connections. I spent 10 years in New York working on Broadway and off-Broadway as a stage manager. If you would have told fourth grade me that I would be at the Tony Awards because a show I was working on was nominated, I would have told you I was crazy. But I was fortunate enough that that happened to me three times, and met some of the best friends of my life while working here. And then the producing director at the time, Jim Crabtree, who was a mentor and a father figure to me, said, I'm ready to think about my retirement. I want to put you and a team into place to suggest to the board, and I would love for you to come home. Will you give up New York and come home? And I said, without a doubt.
Wow, that's really amazing. Well, thank you so much, Bryce, producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by the Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Ron Baker of Photo Art Studio and Gallery. And Ron, what is the process in doing one of your commercial pieces, like when you take pictures of objects? Tell me about that.
Product photography is just like photographing any other object, and every object has its own properties. Some are shiny, reflective, whether it's chrome or a high gloss finish, or it could be fabric or some other material. As far as the process and photographing those type of objects, I have to look at the object and determine the best way to light it, whether it's a hard light, soft light, or incidental light. Incidental light is light that is bounced around, because if you're photographing a toaster that's stainless steel, and it's like photographing a 3D mirror, and it reflects everything. So instead of lighting the toaster, you light the things around it. and then the light bounces in. Those surfaces reflect into the toaster, and that's how you light a product.
That's why you have to hire a professional to do these things.
Well, you know, one would like to think so.
Absolutely. And you have all the different lighting, and you know which lighting to use. And do you have to do that with people when you light them?
Sure, absolutely.
Do certain people get different lighting than others?
Well, yeah. And I've had clients come to me and say, you know, hey, Ron, I'm a big guy. I'm just a big guy. But can you make me look thinner, smaller, taller, whatever? And I say, yeah, absolutely. There are certain tricks to do that, and whether you know, through highlight and shadow, if someone is evenly lit, meaning the light hits them evenly on both sides of their face, you can still create shape and volume. But when you allow half the face to go into the shadows, and you can control how much shadows there, then it gives the illusion of a person being, their face being thinner.
Oh, yeah. And so is this something that you're doing with the lighting, or are you doing this when you go in and manipulate the image?
Yeah, there was one client. Can I mention who the client is?
Sure.
He's a great guy. Manny Edwards works with Jighead Brewery. And he came to me because he's all about cigars and brewing beer, and he wanted some really gritty, contrasty, just some really tough images.
Gotcha.
And so working with him, it was a very hard light, a lot of hard shadows, and smoking cigars and cigar smoke. And we created some images that were just outstanding because he and I played off of each other. You know, it's he brought his idea to me, and I was able to execute it, and throughout the entire process, we just had a great time, and we were both ecstatic about what we did together. So it was a true collaboration.
That's awesome. I love it when you can do that. You know, when it's it sounds like you're meshing with his personality and yours, and then you're co-creating, and that's really special. And then lastly, I just want to talk to you about your photography classes, and you know, what does that entail for people who are wanting to expand on their creativity in the photo world?
Well, I've been teaching photography for quite a while. Started back in Ohio, and it continues today. I offer all levels, from beginning photography, for that individual that just got their first digital SLR camera, and all they can do is turn it on, and then up through intermediate and advanced photography. So there's the beginning photographers often say, what else could I possibly teach them in intermediate and advanced? And it's kind of mind-blowing how far you can take photography.
I know there's all kinds of tricks you can do with the lens and the shutter speed. And
oh, absolutely. You know, once you start getting into the creative side of it, getting past the basics, it's like I tell them, it's like learning to drive a car, a manual shift transmission car. You need to learn to operate the vehicle, which is their camera, before they can start either driving to California or going to the racetrack.
Yeah.
It's just, once you learn the equipment, then it can take you places.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to those classes, I also teach workshops for Photoshop, Lightroom, studio lighting, and at Photo Art, I also have artists that are interested and willing to teach drawing classes and painting classes.
Oh, that's neat.
So those are up and coming. So
that's
keep an
fabulous.
Eye for that.
That's wonderful. Well, Ron, do you have a social media page where people can follow you?
Yeah. I'm pretty much everywhere on social media. Twitter is rbakerphoto. Instagram, R Baker Photo, or Photo Art 31 West, okay. 31, the number 31. And same on Facebook is Photo Art or Photo Art 31 West. My email address is on the World Wide Web, photoart31west.com.
Fabulous. And then they can come check out your gallery.
Absolutely. Right now, since we're going through the coronavirus, the gallery is temporarily closed to the public. I am open to private appointments. You can come by, look in the windows, see everything that the gallery has to offer. But you can also contact me at 931-881-4971.
All right, Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Justin Hurst of Journeyman Marble Works. That kind of rhymes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Thank you so much for coming out and interviewing with us. So you specialize in blown glass marbles. Is that how you would describe it, or would you describe it differently?
It's borosilicate lamp working, but it's still a form of glass blowing.
All right. It's so you brought some here today to the studio, and I'm absolutely amazed with these. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. They're incredibly beautiful. They are marbles, but then like with blown glass designs inside, and they're fantastic. You even have a kaleidoscope here, which is I don't know how other to describe it than absolutely mind-blowing. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
When did you get a start working with glass? Where did that happen?
Kind of led into, originally I was a machinist, and that's where the Journeyman name came from. But it started about eight or nine years ago. I would just play with a little hothead torch and just melt little broken pieces of glass that I found and did little beads and stuff on arc welding rods. And, It stuck with me.
Did you receive training anywhere? Did you have like an apprentice? No, you just were like, I'm going to get things really hot and make shapes with them and things like that?
Yeah, originally I was a journeyman machinist, and I paid my way through trade school at 16. And by the time I was about 21, I had an ex-fiance put me about 30 grand in debt.
Uh-oh.
Lost everything, homeless for a little while, and it just completely changed my perspective on the world.
Yeah.
So...
So you're like, no, I'm just going to be an artist and do what I want to do.
Yeah, it was just something I was doing in spare time. And once I started getting to the point of where I was comfortable selling some of it, then I just went with it. And I've been doing that mostly full time for about 8 years now.
How can I find your work if I want to get something online from you? Where would I go?
I have a website that's Journeyman Marble Works with an X, and that's .com. And then I have a Facebook page and an Instagram page.
Awesome. Are you going to look into selling in any other online avenues, or does Instagram and Facebook work pretty well for you?
I'll pretty much just keep it at that.
Yeah.
I have the page just to help with sales, because taking care of grandpa is a full-time job as it is.
Well, good. Good for you. These marbles would add some serious value to your life if you purchased one of these. They're absolutely gorgeous. And every time you look at them, you see something new, and they have a lot of dimension and depth, and they're just like my mind is blown. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you coming out today.
Appreciation's appreciated.